My name is Christian Basil. Years ago, I had an idea. I got myself a TARDIS. Took it to new places, met a lot of new people, took some great pictures, and talked Doctor Who. From Krypton Radio and the creators of the Hanging With web show, this is the legend of the Traveling TARDIS. Join me on my latest adventures and become part of the legend.
Hello, fellow Whovians. My name is David Chapman. I am your host today on The Legend of the Traveling TARDIS. Christian had a heck of a weekend, which he will tell us about in a moment. But he's, not who we're here to talk to specifically today. Today we've got an amazing guest. Last week we reviewed his Big Finish Audio Juggernauts. So today we're going to be talking to Scott Alan Woodard.
Hello. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Thank you so much for bringing me on.
Well, thank you for being here.
Sorry, I'm still having a convention hangover at this moment.
Sympathy for you, man.
It usually takes like 3 days for it to get over it. It's just like, well, yeah, tired.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a whole bunch of conventions coming up. I have a feeling you're going to see me in this top corner a few more times before the end of the year.
August is just insane because everybody pushed everything to August. It's going to be nuts.
No. The funny thing is, Scott, is we're all masked. So if I get concrud, I'm not exactly sure where it came from.
Yeah.
I slept alone, so I'll definitely want to know where that concrete came from.
Well, those pictures of the hotel we just posted were pretty exciting. So.
Yeah. Why don't we introduce the rest of our wonderful panel? Let's start down in the corner with Mr. Joey Reynolds from Geek Radio America. How you doing there, Joey?
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me on. And I'm on live 365 right now, which would be live365.com/geekradioamerica. And website's up and running. Finally had to solve an issue over the weekend with an SSL. So yeah, geekradioamerica.com. It's every day is an adventure.
Is that their logo? Do they actually
you squinted like you just made a mistake. I was just like, where every day is an adventure. Damn it. That's not the right tag. That's not what I was supposed to say.
I know. But no, every day is an adventure, especially in this business, but I wouldn't have it any other way. It's a lot better than others. So yeah.
It's true. And speaking of adventure, with a properly Christian segue, Mr. Mark Muncy, how are you doing today?
Oh, doing fantastic. I'm had a fun time filming things that I can't talk about in Orlando for.
So what's the point? Why did you
NDA? NDA.
I'm terrible at secrets. Tease. That's why they should know better. It revolves a streaming service that starts with a D and ends with a plus, but not Disney. And
they all have pluses now, so
something like that. And believe it or not, there's a clue. I'm filming a thing for them. So and I'm going to be writing some stuff for them too. So it's exciting. Sometime this summer it will air. But anyway, that's what I was doing all weekend while you guys were having fun at Central Florida Comic Con.
Almost everybody.
It's not like it's a guilt trip.
Well, Christian, anyway, apparently had too much fun. Well, he's acting.
No.
So,
Millie, what did you do that you weren't at the Comic Con?
Well, I was supposed to be at Central Florida Comic Con. I was going to work the booth with Christian. I was going to have fun with our fans. I was going to chat, make new ones, and my alternator died. So my car wouldn't start. I figured out it was the alternator, took the alternator out. I am a do-it-yourselfer, so took off the serpentine belt. It was kind of old, too. So, yeah, I basically spent the entire weekend changing my alternator and resetting the serpentine belt and then resetting the timing. So my car works. It's ready to go. I mean, it's been fine then, but there was no way I could drive out to Central Florida Comic Con. So I had to message Christian. I'm like, sorry, bro, I can't make it. Car's dead, and I'm going to fix it myself and save some money. So, yeah. She paints and she's a mechanic.
Amazing.
Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Grandpa.
She makes Julian fries.
And I can bake and cook and all those fun things.
Yeah. So I'm very appreciative. I want to give a big thank you to Jessica Womack and Nisha Malchin from Diversely Geeks. They were a big help this weekend. And it was just an exciting time, wall-to-wall people. Melanie didn't have fun, no.
It was hot. It was hot outside. It was 92 degrees here. So I was working outside on my car. So yeah.
It's a mechanic. I felt bad because Melanie was like, I really want to come. And it's like, aw, 10th Doctor, Melanie, I knew it. I just knew it. Yeah.
I make sure that he's in
the doctors are shows. Here.
Yes. Yay. I know. I'm so sorry.
Yes,
I know you were at the con and you were saying hello to everybody. I missed everyone, so that's okay.
Dan Holyfield's here. Yes, Dan.
Yay, Dan made it.
Gang's all here.
Tens on the wall.
You're on the wall, babe. On the wall. I got you, boo.
Christian, Mr. Yes, Christian Basil. So you're dead tired. How else did the
does it look real life?
Let's just some of the highlights beyond just the
Yeah, that's
you get more pictures of the traveling TARDIS?
I did. And let me put up some of the highlights from our convention over at Central Florida Comic Con. First of all, we had TARDIS Tizer. We had a big jug and a TARDIS, so there was no excuse why people couldn't come out over there.
It was bigger on the inside.
Yes. So. Our friend from Necronomicon is Ann Morris. She was the only one who came up, but she did a lovely 13.
Very cool.
We met some new friends, including new friend Fall. Her name is Fall, and we also met Autumn, which was kind of funny. They were sitting right next to each other. So, but Fall and her boyfriend Richard, we wanted to say hi to them, give them a shout out there. Kira, the former winner of the cosplay event from I think it was now 2 years ago, showed up again.
Oh wow!
The TARDIS, yeah. She debuted, and very a couple cool. of other nice little pictures. Of course, our first, very first picture was this gentleman right here.
Oh, he's Dinjarin.
Yep. This is definitely the way.
This is and the way.
I like how he's got the Mudhorn sigil on his poltron.
And actually, Chrissy had made this for the Traveling TARDIS. And I just want to let you know, if you're going to VillaCon, I believe that's at the end of the month. I can't attend, but Jessica and a makeshift Traveling TARDIS team will be there. If you want to check out the Traveling TARDIS, you're going to have to ask because he's got his own container now. That is where he will be in
Time. That's how he stays socially distanced.
out there. So, of course. And last picture. In
a box of emotion.
I know. I feel bad. Don't let me out. It's like Tinkerbell. And finally, Jessica, you get a chance to see her, and she got to be up against my car. With the Traveling TARDIS as we were packing away there. So thank you to Jessica. Thank you to Nisha. And thank you to all who came out to our panels. And then we just had a blast this weekend. We talked about Jodie Whittaker. We talked about cosplay. We talked about companions. We were just having a great time. So, Melanie, I wish you could have been there, but you know what?
You had two panels each day.
Yes, we did. That's why it was exhausting.
Yeah.
This is far too long since I've been at a convention. I miss it.
It's a beautiful thing. And I mean, especially we were looking at it. I wasn't expecting too much. I thought people may be just a little bit hesitant about the COVID situation, but no, you could not, as a friend of mine put it, you could not throw a hand grenade without hitting somebody. I mean, it was just, there's just wall to wall people. The vendors are happy. I heard a lot of people had made tons of money. So I guess we're making up for time that we couldn't have had this past year. And thanks to Ben Penrod and everybody at Central Florida Comic Con. It was wonderful. Hope you guys did a great job.
Now the big question though, Christian, did you talk about our YouTube channel?
No, not on here yet.
We haven't had a chance to promote it yet. So we gotta say, make sure you subscribe if you haven't already to our YouTube channel. You can see the URL down scrolling across the bottom there. youtube.com/TheLegendOfTheTravelingTARDIS. We are trying to get how many more hours of viewing time do we need there, Christian?
Roughly? Just 1,000.
Just 1,000.
Less than 1,000. In the background, watch us, listen to us while you're at work. You can hear.
Yeah, Christian because originally we were a podcast, and now we are, you know, streaming live on YouTube and Facebook, and our partners over at Wizard World. So you can still kind of give us a listen if you want to work along, get into those Excel spreadsheets, go. And do your permutations, and listen to this nonsense.
Well, since we're here, let's go ahead and bring it up. There you go. This is our YouTube channel, and please subscribe over there. We're up to 1,220, according to that number that I see out there. You can get exclusive content. And look, we're actually doing an upcoming live stream with Scott A. Woodward, our guest.
Yeah.
Wait, is that this now?
This is now. Yeah. We're in real time. This is happening. This is the thing.
Is this now, or is it then?
No, this is now.
Go back now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
Ooh.
All right, shut up. Let me bits of the TARDIS. We also do interviews, what you're seeing now, Doctor Who reviews, Big Finish reviews. We also did the Juggernauts, which Scott, you got a chance to watch that, didn't you?
I've seen a little bit of it. Okay. I get all nervous when you start to get critical. Any writer, it's like, oh, well, they're starting to get a little critical.
We had Sophie Aldred on here. We kind of surprised her. Said, we're going to rate your book while you're on here. So we rated her, gave her a rating. It was impressive.
I'm giving my childhood crush, you know, the worst review of the five of us.
Full disclosure, that was Christian's idea. Yeah. That was not we're going to do the review. Okay, cool. And all of a sudden you realize Sophie's there and you're like,
what?
I'm curious if that influence numbers to go up or something.
You think? Usually a review is about the entire thing. Like your entire football team winning or losing, it should be about the entire thing, not just the quarterback or just the coach or just this. So when she showed up, I'm like, okay, we need to just go with the person who was the right tackle. That's all I'm ranking.
Everybody gave a great review. Everybody gave a great review of the Juggernaut, so I think we're happy about it.
I'm sure. I mean, I tend to avoid negative reviews of anything that I've created. I think most writers do that just out of for health reasons, mental health reasons. I'm sure it's always fair, and I do appreciate any comments that come my way.
Do you try to just stay away from reviews completely? Like, you know what? I don't want to know. It's out. I made my little baby. It's out in the world. Don't let it be just good so I get more work, but I don't want to know anything about it.
Yeah, I do tend to avoid them. Unless somebody highlights one. You know, a lot of times I'll get somebody will send something along and say, hey, you got a really nice review here. And
okay.
So I kind of let the social media filter that stuff out for me. But I mean, there's stuff that I've written, even with Big Finish, that I've never even heard. So.
Ooh.
That's a whole other thing to do.
No, that's fair.
So we have the absolute maximum amount of time to talk about that. I think we should do commercial now.
Okay.
A couple minutes early, and then we got a little bit more time without an interruption, and we can talk all about Big Finish Audio
When we come back, please return. Please continue to stay logged on, tune in, and we'll continue our discussion with that man right there, Scott Woodard, writer of The Big Finish. When we return, please continue to stay logged on, tune in, and become part of the legend.
Jackie Sonnenberg's My Soul to Keep is a ghost story rooted in the realities of actual cults. When 13-year-old Skye Monroe arrives at her new boarding school, all she can think about is death and connecting with the afterlife. Soon, she discovers her school's spirituality group, the Guardians of Light, and they have a secret. They can speak with the dead, and the organization is a cult. But this isn't Skye's only problem. The campus house where Skye resides is haunted, and even the ghosts have an agenda. They intend on getting the souls they want. Filled with mystery and intrigue plucked straight from the headlines, author Jackie Sonnenberg's research and attention to detail give this ghost story an even more eerie atmosphere. Find My Soul to Keep on Amazon.com today.
Oh, brilliant! It's hard to believe that in the 56-year history of the greatest sci-fi television show in the English language, there has never been a fan guide to Doctor Who.
The official book
books might give you what they think you need to know, but only a guide written by a true fan will give you what you really want to know. Join Whovian, the brilliant Mackenzie Flohr, as she takes you on an intensive journey inside the world of the first female Doctor. In the Binge Watcher's Guide to Doctor Who, Season 11. Right, let's get a shift on.
Author Cindy Kep is writing on the edge. Books include Remnant in the Stars, The Loudest Actions, Lines of Succession, Mindstorm, Condemned Courier, The Yerushalon Series, and Animal Eye. Find author Cindy Kep at CKOEPP.com today.
And we got a big announcement. Our friends over at the Rising Tide Publications, they will be allowing us now, next show, to be live streaming over there. So you can join our friends over at Facebook.com, Rising Tide Broadcast Network. That's the Rising Tide Broadcast Network. Our friends over there will be live streaming, and check us out. Also on our YouTube page, also on our Twitch page, and our friends over at the Wizard World page, to check, go ahead and check them out. And if you're watching this live stream on our Facebook page and on those channels that I mentioned, don't thank us. Thank our friends over at GeekInsider.com. That's GeekInsider.com.
At Geek Insider, we foster relationships with those in the geek sphere so we can give our audience the insider view of entertainment, tech, and more.
There you are.
We're streaming on my page, too.
What's that? Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, look. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We're out there. We're on my Facebook page as well as all those other places. Give me a follow, too. But we are back, and we're not talking about me. We are talking about Scott Allen Woodard and some of his work. And you've got a whole whack of it. I brought up like your the Goodreads page, and it just keeps going, and it is nowhere near exhaustive. But just for Big Finish, because we were on that, you had, and we weren't sure about this when we were talking last week. You did three Doctor Who's for Big Finish.
Three, yeah. Well, I mean, I never ask counts, right? So it's not technically Doctor Who, but obviously it's in the same universe, but it doesn't have the Doctor Who logo on it per se. But
just for Dave, I'm putting this into the chat, so I'm putting it all over the place. So the rathole.ca, I'm adding that, but it's in the chat.
Yay.
So
you can
make a copy. Yay. But don't forget.
Yay for. But yes, so tell us a little bit. You are one of five Americans to have written basically official Doctor Who scripts. Yes, audio, but nevertheless, still official.
Yeah. Kind of a weird thing. So do you want me to go back into the annals of history?
Is that what this is?
Okay. Yes.
I always have to make sure I pronounce that word correctly. So what happened was I moved out to LA in the early 90s and started attending Gallifrey One very, very early on. And some years later, I became friends with Gary Russell. I'm sure some of you know who that guy is. So Gary and I became fast friends, and we used to interact at the convention a lot at Gallifrey One. And he also knew at the time that I was working for Warner Brothers as a writer-producer. I was actually one of the people who launched Kids WB. So some of you, I'm sure, watched it when you were younger. So I worked there. I used to send loads of DC swag over to Gary. And at one point, it was shortly after, I think, I don't remember the exact number, but after one of the Gallifrey conventions, I remember being in my office. We had obviously exchanged phone numbers. Phone rang. I picked it up. He said, "Hi, Scott, it's Gary. How are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing great. Just working on some Batman stuff right now," which of course thrilled him to no end. Huge Batman fan. And then he said, "Would you be interested in writing a Doctor Who for us?" So I picked the phone up off the floor and proceeded to say, "Absolutely. I would love to." Now, of course, at that time, I mean, Juggernauts, I think, was number 65, if I remember right, in the series. And so at that time, they had sort of done a lot of exploration and brought in all new characters and new settings and all sorts of crazy new stuff. And I thought that's what the direction would be where we would go. But he then said, okay, well, we have a bit of a laundry list. And so what I'd like is a Dalek story with Davros and the Sixth Doctor and Mel and the Mechanoids, if you could throw those guys in too. So, of course, I'm thinking, okay, first time Big Finish writer, and you're giving me the friggin' Daleks? Okay. So, of course, I said yes. And the rest is sort of history. Yeah, that was my very first one. And it was remarkably hands-off. I just was banging away at stuff, and I sent over a lot of preliminary ideas. And I mean, at one point, I think I had 15 proposed titles, you know, weird stuff like that. Like, I think it was everything from domes, which I thought was kind of a neat idea because we were going to have dome cities. But, of course, domes being Daleks. Spider in the Web was a kind of too obvious. We chucked that one out. And Juggernauts was on there. And, of course, Gary went for that. So that's how that all came together. And then as soon as I found out when they were going to record, I booked a ticket and flew over to London and was there for the session. And that was a blast. And it was really funny because, as you said, there were only a few Americans who have written Big Finish audios. And one of the other ones, gosh, why am I spacing on his name? Darren? Anyone? I think it's Darren. He was actually in the studio at the time, and they were recording one of his audios. So we walk in, and of course, we're the only two Americans, probably for miles. And we're chatting about, you know, writing for Doctor Who, and Colin is there. And I remember one of the most wonderful things that Colin said to me at the time was that he was delighted to meet me, but he was really surprised I was an American, except for one word that was in my script, and that was the word gotten, which I had tossed in there somewhere, saying instead of, for some reason, they apparently don't say gotten. So that was the only one that was a bit of a giveaway to, and so wow. that's how it all worked out. And I got a little cameo in the play, which is fun. Yeah. And I had a blast. And the only other thing I'd want to share real quick on that is I will never forget being in the studio when Terry started reading those lines, the lines that I had written. And of course, they processed the voice live. So immediately I hear Davros reading my script. And just talking about it right now, I'm getting goosebumps, I swear. And I teared up a little bit. I actually got super emotional because I thought, you know, I'd been a Doctor Who fan since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And now here I was in London with Terry Molloy reading my lines.
Davros.
It was crazy. So that's how that all became a thing.
In fact, here's all four of them.
Horrible. Oh, yes. That's a great story in itself, writing that series.
I haven't opened the thing yet.
Oh, you gotta hear those. They're remarkable. So Gary good. Actually considers the iDabra series to be one of his proudest moments. Yeah.
I'm just amazed that it was like an episode of Chopped where they literally just gave you a box and went, here you go. Here's your ingredients. Make this. And you're kind of like, and how much time do I have my deadline? You know, you need to do this. Oh, and here's the secret ingredient. Bam.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Terry Molloy.
and also the Mechanoid.
You guys have had Terry on, right? I mean,
yes.
He is yes. like one of the nicest people I've ever had the pleasure of working with. So,
if I don't include Monty in some kind of homage to him, he will throttle me. He's just like, and I actually have some picture around Monty with the TARDIS. This is actually kind of cool there. It's beautiful.
That's wonderful.
So I'm sorry, I had to walk away for a second there. How do you get the gig? How did this all start? I told you. I'm sorry.
Rewind 10 minutes.
If you didn't know, I've been waiting to do this the entire show.
There you go.
Thank you. Pay attention. Now that's
moving on.
I'm your host, Christian Basil. What the?
Hey, Christian, you should go back and watch the show.
That's what commercial breaks are for, Christian. That's what I went and grabbed
I'm running the commercials here, so I'm just
okay, fine.
I'll sum up. Was it Gallifrey 1? Became very good friends with Gary Russell. He offered me the job.
There we go. He almost made it a haiku for you.
Permit me to ask, if I may, in regards to writing iDavros, did you have the opportunity to speak with Terry Because obviously Terry has when Terry's done his performances on television, you know, he's left so much on the at least where the performance is, and he probably feels that he should, maybe he's proprietary to the character, just like other folks who've played the characters in the series, namely like Elizabeth Slayton, may she rest in peace, being proprietary for the character. So have you ever had conversations with him about the depths of his character or what he wanted to present, or saying something along the lines of Davros would never do that? I mean, did you ever have a chance to, at least in terms of writing this series, have you ever worked with him on at least Got defining, what, having him have a say in character development?
Yeah, well, I mean, in regards to Juggernauts, it was a little bit more hands off. But when we were doing I, Davros for hands off. Oh god. Okay, we can just move past that joke. That was not intentional, I swear. Okay. Anyway,
you know, I've always heard that phrase of, it's like, no pun intended, no pun intended. I'm one of those, like, if I can get a pun out of that,
oh, yeah.
It's cool. Intended.
I'm not going to claim that one. No, but in regards to Davros, we did get a document that Terry wrote, and it really went into the depths of Davros's background as far as he was concerned, and why Davros is the way that he is and why he behaves the way that he does.
Yeah.
And that was a fascinating look into the character that we all took on board, all four of us, when we were writing the play. And what was really, really fascinating too, and this goes way back to when we had like Yahoo groups. I mean, this is the early days of, internet. Social media and internet.
So was there a dial-up connection in here, sir?
There was not a dial-up involved. But okay. We were all in Yahoo groups, all the writers, and we would post ideas and bits of dialogue and snippets of our scripts. And so everybody was aware of what each one was doing for the entire storyline, because it's considered more or less one storyline. But Terry was great. He just gave us so much direction that came from a place where obviously we had no access. So that was great.
Cool.
we're all just laughing, enjoying the cat.
Stop.
Oh,
hold on. We're gonna go like
this. Mine are all sleeping right now. So.
Oh, now the cat's gone.
Here she is. Yes, the idiot. She's going right behind. She goes. She's so tiny. She's underneath my camera, except for that tail, where she just keeps moving the microphone.
That's great.
I've had many interviews where the tail has gone back and forth.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Welcome to the Legend of the Traveling Kitty Cat.
Luna.
In fact, Melanie's going to be replaced by the cat. We're just going to have the cat.
Oh, no. We have a commercial. She's going out that door.
Oh, okay.
Someday when I have enough time to actually catch up on our bits of the TARDIS thing, I'm going to do like a highlight reel of us and the cats.
Yeah.
Inevitably, one of us and the cat.
Thankfully, we record late enough. My lizard's asleep. My scaly cat's asleep. So he doesn't bother us with this.
Scaly Scott, cat. Truly, we are professional. I mean, I'll catch back during the commercial. Point. I'll catch up on the last 10 minutes. Melanie, put away her cat. I'll be putting a poster.
That
That's awesome, right there.
What have I gotten into?
Beautiful.
Those are. Oh, you. Quick aside. So the claws I'm wearing in that picture.
Sure.
Those are actually Hugh's claws. So my wife worked on Wolverine, and I mean, I won't go into too much detail about that. She was in Australia for like 2-3 months on that movie. Broke her ankle horrifically. And that was in a surgery involving thing. That was awful. So, sometime later, she was still in crutches, and we found out that they were doing a big photo shoot with the entire cast here in LA. So we packed up in the car and drove down there. And while I was in there and got to meet everybody, by the way, Hugh is the most charismatic person I've ever met in my life. But the claws were sitting on the table. And one of the guys who was on set, he was like, oh, you want to try them on? And I was like, hell yeah.
Yes,
so I grabbed those and said, quick, get some pictures. So those are the real claws.
So cool.
Yeah, they're molded to Hugh's hands.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's almost kind of like a brass knuckle thing where it's like here.
There's a grip in the palm. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's a little wire that goes between the fingers, and then they're just attached. So
cool. Melanie, anytime we're on the set, when they're recording Doctor Who, we're on the set out there, make sure we grab the TARDIS and go, run before Jodie gets back. Let's take this. It's a whole thing. Bring it with us. Let's just see if they notice it disappeared.
I'm just in awe that he actually wore the hero prop. hero claw.
Pretty epic.
Those were his. Those were the hero ones.
I just like his face, dude. Look with that ear that's going on out there.
How could you not make that face when you have those claws?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
No, I've seen people do the hero claw. Like, dude.
It's the head down, eyes up. Everybody looks more badass that way.
Dude.
Yeah.
The theater guy in me is going crazy. Don't touch other people's props!
That's what everyone plays with.
No. Over 100 million, everybody touches it. That's a
finders, keepers, losers. I'm playing with this thing. It's mine for the next 5 minutes, at least. Speaking of five minutes,
since while we all take that couple of minutes to just digest the complete awesomeness that is that and the attack eyebrows, why don't we go to commercial? Because it's about that time. What do you think, Christian?
We'll be right back.
Alien invaders enslave Earth,
unleashing hunters into the ruined wastes.
One young survivor struggles to elude their monsters, clinging to hope.
When he's stolen off the planet by a sarcastic Starship AI, they pit their uneasy alliance against a treacherous galaxy.
Explore a whole new verse of barbarism and betrayal,
wonder and adventure
in the Scion series
by Michael J. Allen,
beginning with book one, Scion Conquered Earth.
Available in print, ebook, and audio on Amazon.com.
This is Cosplay Michael with the Hanging Us Web Show. I want to tell you about my friends at Embellus Effects in Orlando, Florida. They've got makeup, costumes, and props for all of your costume needs. And the team at Embellus Effects is helpful and friendly. Embellus Effects is one of my favorite places, and I know it will be yours too. I'll see you there. Or go to EmbellusEffects.com. And remember, cosplay is for everyone.
Meet the Doctor.
I'm the Doctor.
But not the one you were expecting.
All right, sexy. It's time to go home.
Doctor Who Velocity, streaming now.
I am ready to play this game. I am waiting to play this game. I've got my packs ready. I've got everything going. Check out our over at Doctor Who Worlds Apart, DoctorWho-WorldsApart.com, and you can get free packs. You can get free packs, and if you sign into your account daily, you can earn, I think it's Pandex. I keep on getting it wrong, right?
Pandex.
Kit Pandex, and then you can get free cards. So please check them out. Tell them that the Legend of the Traveling TARDIS sent you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. My name is Christian Basil. Our host today is Dave Chapman from the rathole.ca.
I'm just logging in right now just to get my Pandex.
Okay.
Right.
And our lovely guest, Scott Woodward, who's also the author writer of a couple of Big Finish audios, as well as he's done some work with Disney and Warner Brothers. We're back over here.
Oh, and that.
What's with that, Mark? What are you doing that? Yes. All right, Mark. Since you insist, Mark, bring it out.
One of the main reasons I was so proud to have Scott on. I'm a huge Doctor Who fanboy, as we all know, but I'm also a big Flash Gordon fanboy. And when I saw Scott was coming on, I was like, that name rings a bell. And I dug up, and I had just Kickstarted this, I believe, last year. Might have been a year before. I tend to Kickstarter a lot of fun things. This was the Flash Gordon role-playing game for Savage Worlds, and it was put out by Pinnacle Studios. It does the great Deadlands role-playing game and a bunch of others. But they also – I saw the writing on this was done by a Scott A. Woodard. Is that familiar? I mean, that might seem like
weird.
He might save name. Every one of us.
That's a weird coincidence, that name.
Yeah. So tell us about that gig.
So, So the role-playing thing, I'm one of those lucky people who managed to take all of my hobbies, my childhood dreams and sort of make them reality as a career. Even going back to working for Warner and Disney and cartoons and all that. So, I've been extraordinarily lucky in that regard. And I started with role-playing games when I was a wee lad of probably 10 years of age. And I'm old. So we're talking like 79. That's when I first discovered D&D. So, jump ahead, and I'm sort of between jobs a few years ago. And I was watching forums, various forums for role-playing games, and I happened to notice that one publisher was dumping their editor. And I thought, well, this could be a nice way to get my foot in the door. And so I immediately reached out, and I said, hey, I'm available. I'm an editor. I'm not an editor. But I was that day.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
You edited your own stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I was able to toss a few things in their direction. I think at the time I had already written the Big Finish audios and some other projects. So I at least had some pedigree, and they gave me a chance. And lo and behold, I edited some 50 products for that publisher. And then it sort of segued into interacting with other publishers. And then I got offered an opportunity to write a role-playing game. And the first one I wrote actually was The Sixth Gun, which is based on a comic series from Oni Press. I don't know if anybody knows that one, but it's a really cool Weird Western comic. I think they won a few awards, but a great graphic novel series. And I got to adapt that comic into an RPG for Pinnacle. And after I did that, Shane Hensley, who runs Pinnacle, said, well, do you want to do something else? And I said, I would love to, of course. And I said, but what are you thinking? And of course, at the time, like you had mentioned, they have Deadlands. And I thought maybe I was going to do some Deadlands or something else, some one of their own IPs. And he said, well, you have a license for Flash Gordon. Are you familiar with it? Now, of course, it's Flash Gordon. Of course, I'm familiar with it. And I'm another one of those guys who, as a kid, I watched those old serials with Buster Crabbe on TV, and I read the comics, and I was into Flash, but never thought I would have an opportunity to write it professionally. So, yeah, out of the blue, that popped up once again, and somebody approached me with that. I mean, what's going on? And I said yes, and I just brand managed and wound up writing most everything for the line. We brought in some extra writers on our source book, our Kingdoms of Mongo source book. And fortunately, that line is still going. We just had a crowdfunding campaign for a new Moons of Mongo source book and pawns that you can use that are, all beautifully full-colored, two-sided punch-out die-cut pawns. You can bring your characters to life on the tabletop, and there's maps and archetype cards and all sorts of crazy stuff. So it's still going, and I'm also writing another beast of an RPG right now for the same publisher. It's about 90,000 words at the moment, so it's going. That's the gaming stuff.
Savage Worlds, then?
This one is another Savage Worlds one, yes, and it's based on an existing IP, but I cannot say anything more.
Yeah. Oh, more NDAs!
Yes,
yeah, more, I mean,
NDAs
I
all over the
gotta love it.
I live NDAs, especially because of my wife, what she works on. I mean, I don't know if we'll go into that at all, but that's a whole other story, so...
Well, but you haven't signed
for every one of us. So, as Flash Gordon's fanboys, we're very happy to see this.
Well, and, thanks.
And as an old school role player too, again, I started in the 70s as well as a young wee lad. And then I never would have. We always made our own Flash Gordon RPGs with things like, Star Frontiers and maybe even Traveler. And then now we got this. It's like, oh, this is exactly what we wanted. And I just wanted to say it was very well written, and I helped Kickstarter both versions.
I really appreciate it. Thank you. All the non-gamers have zoned out.
They mix up.
That's true.
Christians have zoned up full stop, so don't worry about that.
Plus, half the cast of Doctor Who were once in Flash Gordon at some point or another.
That's true.
Yeah.
So.
Quite a few. And, of course, Sam Jane Jones wrote our foreword for the book.
Yeah, which is great. And he was just here in Central Florida a couple weeks ago, and he's supposed to be back in July. So he's hitting the rounds down our area. So,
oh, that's awesome. He's a good guy.
Yep. Now you send me some pictures.
Mark was able to be on the panel because I knew he would be geeking out on this even more than me.
Well, my big thing was when my book hit the bestseller list, my publisher got Brian Blessed to do a Muncie's Alive for me. So
Alive?
Had to do this. So.
I just love that Melody is in the chat as we're chatting in the
I know, I'm in there. Just chatting with everybody.
The doctors are fighting over your wall space there. It's like,
I know, right? Oh, like, I don't have space
all over again.
Guy.
You need
your
top eight.
I don't have much wall. Here we go. As Nicholas Anthony Talkert says, I love seeing how other game makers got in. So you didn't, not everyone zoned out there.
There was beer involved in my getting in. I'm just going to say.
Check out
as the, any good gaming company there usually is.
Oh, yeah.
I got to ask you, because you sent us some pictures, and I really wanted to focus on this one, because this is one of my favorite authors. You're sitting next to one of my favorite authors.
Okay. Rob.
Rob. Not only that, one of my favorite, I guess I could say safely say, storytellers, because he's hysterical.
Yeah, Rob's great. I did a few conventions with him, not just Gallifrey, but I also did Chicago TARDIS. Mm-hmm. So, we've shared the stage a few times talking about writing Big Finish and other things, short stories and such. So, yeah, he's a good guy. We're still friends on Facebook. We keep in touch.
And meeting your hero.
Hey! There we go. So I'm like 15 there.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I actually brought that photo with me when I went over for the recording of the Juggernauts and showed it to Colin.
What?
He loved it.
Oh, my God.
He just absolutely loved it.
Wow. Now, was this the moment you talked to Gary and said, hey?
Oh, it's a good no, you can see it's just making up.
Making
up
the Juggernaut, so it wasn't there.
Yeah.
Or much earlier, did you look like that at that point?
Oh, God, no. That's, like I said, I'm somewhere an old man. Between so. This is, that was about 86 or so, I think. When
meeting our first Dalek.
Yeah, that's a friend of mine built that Dalek. Of course, I had to get a photo with it.
Well done, yeah. Too.
Yeah, it's pretty
very
good.
Well done.
I was
looking at it, I'm like, wait a minute, it's in a garage next to like a Craftsman tool chest. I'm like, did you build that? Or your friend?
No, that's here in Burbank. Yeah, I don't know if it's still here. That was a few years ago, but I mean, at the time, I think I had already released Juggernauts. And as soon as I knew he had a Dalek, I said, can I come over?
I was so disappointed. I was actually a volunteer for our local PBS affiliate, and they were doing. They were doing an auction. They actually had me stand up and read off the auction, read off the teleprompter and all that stuff. And in the background, I noticed there was a TARDIS that they were using for their auctions and stuff like that, for their pledge drives, I should say. And it was the first time ever I saw a TARDIS in its full scale.
Mm.
And there was something about it that I wanted to walk up and open the door, but I knew if I opened the door, I would be disappointed because I wanted something else to be behind that door. And surely enough, I opened the door, looked around and go, damn.
No, you're supposed to open the door, close your eyes and use your imagination.
Yeah. I know. I wasn't being very imaginative when I saw the TARDIS. I was just like, come on. Tom Baker's in there, right? Here's another awesome picture. Speaking of Flash Gordon.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
That was a cosplayer. I was like, oh, I've got to get a photo with that.
That looks so awesome there. And
there's a gang of troublemakers.
There's the gang.
It's nice and shiny in there. And here.
Oh, there's Terry and Gary. Yeah. Terry and Gary.
Oh, Terry. There he is. Yeah.
On the right.
Before the bear. He's always had that bear, though.
I think it's always been around.
I just love this picture.
Bear. It's his childhood bear. He's had it fixed.
I love this picture that you sent me. I don't know why, but there.
It's a really good photo.
It is a good photo.
That's true.
It's well balanced.
That was the interesting. That photo was not, it wasn't posed at all. That was a candid. And I was at Gen Con, and it was the Sixth Gun had just come out, and the writer of the comic, Cullen Bunn, was running a special celebrity game that we had done a special feature on Kickstarter or something. And I was just watching him run the game, and little did I know someone was taking a picture off to the side. So I dig that photo too. It's pretty cool. My Roman nose. What's that?
Are you going to come back to Gen Con this year?
Not this year. Next year for sure, though. But I am a regular there. I'm going to skip this year just for various reasons. But next year I'll be back.
An interesting year there for sure.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to get back to what it was, and I'm just afraid it's going to be a mishmash of chaos and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. I mean, I'm happy it's happening. I'm a little disappointed that they moved it because the week after their original dates was MegaCon in Florida.
Yep.
And I was going to come drive down, see these other fine folks, I think they're going to be at MegaCon. Kristen, are we going to be at MegaCon?
Well, we are.
Y'all are. I'm not.
You can be there virtually.
I'll Skype you, man, and you can be on the phone. We'll walk around with
you. There we go.
Hey, Scott, you might want to think about this for after the break, but if there's one mythos that, if it was just made ready for you, which mythos would you want to start writing for and sink your teeth into and create original fiction based on that mythos? Just an idea. Well, I mean, we're getting close to a break.
That's the same thing when we came back. So that's a great topic to hit when we come back from these next commercials. And boom.
This is Cosplay. Famous Faces and Funnies in Melbourne, Florida is leading the way in pop culture fun. From comic books and graphic novels to Funko Pops and collector's items, Famous Faces and Funnies has it all. Rick Shea and the professional team at Famous Faces and Funnies are friendly and knowledgeable. Whether you're looking for toys, props, collector treasures, or a new comic book, Famous Faces and Funnies is your one-stop shop. To find Famous Faces and Funnies on Facebook and Twitter, just type at FFF Comics.
You have more options than ever before when choosing a film, a television, or internet series, a book to curl up with, or even a radio show or podcast. Get to know the people who are creating for you. The Hangin' With Web Show, hosted by award-winning author and journalist G.W. Pometcher, is the internet's fastest-growing web talk show series. The Hangin' With Web Show features professional, yet casual, in-depth interviews with creative arts and entertainment pros. Meet the people behind a digital revolution in creating more quality content than ever before in the history of media. Find the Hangin' With Web Show on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter, or simply go to www.hanginwithshow.com. That's www.hanginwithshow.com.
This is the Legend of the Traveling TARDIS. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Subscribe to us wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Also catch us on the HWWS Web TV YouTube channel. Subscribe today and become part of the legend.
The Massive Audio Doctor Who Bad Wolf Bluetooth TARDIS Speaker.
That's all I gotta say, one word.
Wow, it looks like it just jumped right off the screen. Here it is in all its Bad Wolf glory. Right here is the on-off switch and the up-and-down volume. Right here's the speaker. The TARDIS stands about 6 inches from the bottom of the TARDIS all the way up to the top where the light is. Look at the detail. Wow.
Go to Fame Tech, Amazon.com, Fame Tech, F-A-M-E-T-E-K, for those of you listening to our audio version. I had both products over at Central Florida Comic Con. I actually had the speaker and the charger, and the charger freaks me out. I said, turn it back on, it lights up. You saw it in the commercial. I was just like, unplug. Put it away. I don't want to look at that damn weeping angel in the butt. My goodness. So, ow, God, I hit a table.
Wow. Or did the table hit you?
We've done. So, getting back to Joey's question before the break.
You know, there are a few IPs I would love to play around in. And there's actually the possibility of one or two of these things coming to light at some point. I've had discussions with some folks about them. But oddly, it's amazing how three of them are British. But Blake 7 is something I would love to play with because I think it's just a pretty fascinating universe. The Tripods. I'm an enormous John Christopher fan. I've read everything that the man ever wrote. But I would love to do something with Tripods because it seems like it's just sitting there and no one's doing anything with it. At one point, I started to actually construct a trilogy of books that would have sort of continued the story. Well, it would have connected the story between when the Tripods came and then the event, the White Mountains, or what's the first one is White Mountains, I think, in the trilogy. So I started writing something and then just kind of dumped it. But I would love to play in the Tripods universe. Holmes. I mean, there's a glut of Holmes stuff out there, but I want my chance. I want to do something with Sherlock Holmes. I think it would be a lot of fun to do something. And then Babylon 5. And not so much Babylon 5 within the existing continuity, which of course it's a closed universe as far as Straczynski is concerned, but it just seems like there's so many more stories to be told out there beyond the station. So I would love to play in that world, in that universe as well.
Just a few. Crusade.
Yeah, exactly.
Get from there, yeah.
Fix Crusade, anyway.
Had to bring it up. I know that one always gets Michael.
Yeah, I love the Rangers, but oh well.
Yep.
Now, during the break, I did add a photo here, so that way I can kind of segue into my question. Yay. And that's Cinema and Sorcery. So this is not a small little book, sir. This is a huge. I mean, when you decided to make this guide, how on earth did you two tackle it? Where were you going to begin? Where did
there you
end?
Go.
Yeah.
Bit I mean, of a beast. This is,
it's a beast.
So yeah, that was kind of a fun little thing. Arnold Blumberg, who I co-wrote the book with, we had known each other for quite a few years through Gallifrey and through Doctor Who fandom as well. And he was out here for a Gallifrey convention, and we went to do a signing. He was signing one of his books about zombies at a shop called Dark Delicacies, which is here in Burbank.
Okay.
And I went along with him for the signing. And while we were there, I found this is ridiculous, but I found an autographed copy of the Deathstalker 2 soundtrack.
Yes!
Signed by Chuck Sereno. Fantastic. And I had to own it.
How dare you say that things are ridiculous? Do you not understand this show? My friend.
I ran a haunted house for 20 years, and Monique Gabrielle came and signed it. So I know exactly where you're at, man.
Right. Okay.
All good.
Well, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Deathstalker 2. I think it's just it's a
underrated classic.
It absolutely is. And so I bought the soundtrack, and then Arnold and I were chatting about it, because he had never seen the movie. And lo and behold, we just, out of this conversation, we thought, well, what if we did a movie guide about sword and sorcery movies? Because at the time, we hadn't really seen something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we started small, and we started putting together, well, what would be our wish list? What would we want to cover? How would we want to do it? And he had already worked on some movie guides and TV guides prior to that. And so we came up with this idea that we would cover 50 movies in depth with long chapters devoted to each one with comprehensive information. And we'd interview directors and actors and composers and whoever else we could get in touch with. And then we would also have a full index at the back, which wound up being 400 some films. So 50 in depth, 400 some covers quite a number of movies. And we just kind of dove in and we divvied them up. We had our wish lists of what we wanted to cover. I absolutely had movies I wanted to write the chapters on, and wound up talking with a lot of great people. And I did talk with folks who worked on Deathstalker 2, by the way. So, I'm actually friends with Chuck Sereno, the guy who did the score. But I talked to John Terlesky. I talked to Jim Wynorski. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I do say that I don't think I would ever want to do a project like that again, ever, because it did take years to produce. But I'm very proud of it. And in the gaming industry, because it does have some gaming content, we did get nominated for an Annie Award, which is sort of the big award that's given out at Gen Con every year. But we lost to a coloring book. So, take that.
Well, if only you'd written it prior to 1980, then all you had to include was Hawk the Slayer and and the Lord of the Rings animated. Done.
We go all the way back to the silent era. So it's silent films all the way up to, I think at the time when we wrote the book, The Hobbit was out. So we wrote about that. And I think we did devote chapters to all of the Lord of the Rings movies and also The Hobbit. So
okay, was there anything on your wish list that you wanted to do? Well, that was on your wish list and you weren't sure that you were going to get, and you were able to get the green light to get to talk about it?
I mean, in this book you're talking about? I mean, this one was it was just the two of us working on this, so we could do whatever we wanted.
Okay.
But we were really lucky. I mean, everybody I reached out to got back in touch with me.
Awesome.
And that wound up, like I say, being actors and directors and screenwriters. And I mean, everybody wanted to talk about these movies. Especially the really awful B ones from the early 80s. And they were just so excited to talk about them and share their stories. And what was really funny is I had a great chat with Bill Stout. Now, Bill had done a lot of the poster art for Wizards. He's pretty famous for that, but I mean a variety of other things. But he also wrote the screenplay for The Warrior and the Sorceress, the original draft of that. And that's an awful movie. So I reached out to him, and he wrote 4 or 5 pages of material for me to mine that told all this whole backstory about how he worked on that movie and how the script got stolen from him. And it was crazy. And I said, well, Bill, can I actually use this? Because this seems almost libelous. Like, is anybody going to get sued if I tell these stories? And he said, nope, it's wide open. Go for it. Nice. So just with that one example alone, and alongside a lot of other ones, we have stuff in this book that stories that have never been told. So I'm very, very proud of it. And everybody I know who's read it has enjoyed it. One of the things we definitely wanted to do with it was not just make it a sort of stale encyclopedia of movies. Mm-hmm. It's very readable, and there's a lot of our personalities in it. And so a lot mm-hmm. of those discussions about movies, especially some of the really awful ones, you know exactly where we're coming from. Oh, yes. There.
So bad.
Yeah, the so
not to be confused with just the sorceresses.
No, nope,
there is sorceress. Yeah, and yeah, she does have 4
yep.
in the movie. Yep. So, yeah. Okay, yeah, but she's just the dancer. She's not really even a main character.
Yeah, I know, it's very bizarre. Bit part. Yeah,
it's a miserable movie. I mean, David Carradine broke his wrist when he was shooting it, and that's why he's got this weird leather gauntlet thing on for the whole movie. I swear he's just did it to support his coke habit. I mean, it's really an awkward film to watch, and it's just depressing.
Hey,
they
had to fill those fantasy shelves at the video store somehow, man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure they rented well, but yeah, there were a lot of really bottom of the barrel movies we covered in that book, and I always like to tell people about sort of the ones that are the high points and the ones that are definitely the bottom of the barrel, and that one's pretty low.
Yeah, that was the one photo I could download and at least show people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Conquest, directed by Lucio Fulci, is another one. It's just, yes. just right. a really awful experience watching.
Yeah. So the big question is the Edgar Wright question, Krull or Hawk the Slayer?
Hawk the Slayer is rubbish. No, Hawk the Slayer is wonderful. And I actually would say that Krull, I like Hawk the Slayer more than Krull, for sure.
Agreed. Yeah, it's Krull, really aged better. Even though it's the lower budget, you know, it's
a romp and it's fun. And Krull, I think, was too big for its britches. It's just big and bloated and too much money. And I just think it falls on its face a lot. It's got some neat stuff. Don't get me wrong, but I wasn't as my discussion of that film is not as glowing as it would as it was for Hawk the Slayer. And Hawk the Slayer's got a great soundtrack.
Yes.
I just want one of those kids who wanted the glaive and take it to school. Just, you know, somebody piss me off.
You know, but the thing about the glaive, this is a quick little
give
side.
Me an A.
Glaive,
give me an A right now.
The glaive did nothing. The glaive did nothing in that.
Nothing in the whole movie. Nothing.
It really.
It looks awesome, but it doesn't do anything.
It wasn't until Blade that it became cool. Come on.
Yeah, there you go.
It got like stuck. That's what pissed me off. Well, I can't go hunting with a thing. It'll get stuck in something. I'll be totally screwed there.
No, they defeat the monster.
Let's just talk about Deathstalker 2 for the next like 20 minutes.
Let's do the Deathstalker 2 podcast. That'd be great. Yep. Yeah.
Well, we do have an after party coming up here. Very
shortly. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We are coming to the end of our the audio portion that'll go out to the podcast. So you are welcome. Please stick around. We have an extra half hour that we can do some after show stuff. Cool. Melanie, I know you got to go right as soon as the show ends.
Mm-hmm.
Want to tell everybody where we can find you?
Just basically at piecesofmelee.com or on my Instagram here. The murals were complete. People were kind of watching me do the murals around Tampa. So now I'm painting. Back to it, getting ready for MegaCon prep. So once we start getting more of our schedule, I'll be at MegaCon, Tampa Bay Comic Con. I believe Wizard World is doing. Oh, they just announced which one they were going to go to.
Yep.
Chicago, right?
I was about to mention that.
So
in the after party.
Stay tuned, keep following, and I can tell you where you can find me there.
You're going to Chicago?
If Wizard World wants me.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I was like, it was a
suddenly Chris like, yeah. I mean, I got a brand new alternator. I could drive. No.
It depends on.
I will fly.
If
no.
Wizard World wants me.
Yes. 100%.
I mean, Melanie's already started her serpentine belt. So,
I know, right?
Yeah.
Difficult that is. Especially when you have an 8mm socket somewhere and you can't find it because someone moved it.
Put some mileage on there. Speaking of mileage, folks, for those of you listening to our audio podcast on iHeartRadio, on Spreaker, on Spotify, where is that list? There we go. There we go. Everybody who's listening on iHeartRadio, sci-fi.radio, our friends over there, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, CBSRadio.com, Spreaker, FM, Player FM, wherever you're listening to your to this podcast. If you're listening to it, we want to thank the Hanging With Web Show TV outlet for producing those shows on the audio. And please continue to listen. But we're going to end the show right now as far as the audio is concerned. So thank you for joining us. Please continue to stay logged on, tuned in, and become part of the legend.